All right. Hey, before I get into my message this morning, we're going to do something new today. And we might do this from time to time if it works. All right? And by if it works, I mean you got to help me. You got to help me with this, okay? Because this will only work if you participate. All right? Now, none of you want to see your pastor cry, do you? So you're all going to help me, right? All right, we're going to do a little thing this morning that I'm simply calling What's Good Bethel? What's Good Bethel? All right, and here's how we play. What I want to have a few of you do this morning is just tell your church something good that God has done in your life recently, okay? And it can be anything. Maybe God help you pass a test that you thought you were going to fail, or your niece had a baby, or God blessed you financially with something, or you were sick and now you're better, and whatever it might be, something good, because I think it's important for us to share these things. How are you being blessed? How has God blessed you? Okay, so y'all ready? Y'all ready? Okay, and so here's what we'll do is, if you have confidence that your voice is loud enough, you can just give a shout out from where you're at when I point at you, all right? So we're not all shouting at the same time. And if not, I'll bring the microphone to you so everybody can hear you, okay? I already have one right there in the back, and I know this story. So, Kelly, you want the mic or you want to just go for it? Yeah, amen. Thanks. Thank you. All right, Arl Toma. Microphone person.
God is good. It's almost past 3 or 4 days since, no matter how much I did command, I did not know I have a problem with my heart. And always when I feel right here, I said, no, it's not the heart, but I command in Jesus' name be healed. And one morning, I found myself on sofa, barely breathing, and was just about 2 minutes. My wife says, what's going on with you? You never lay down on sofa. I said, well, maybe I'm getting old and I have to. So she took me to be checked out. So those guys, you know, they have a wisdom, they learn. The way I did learn to fix all the cars, they learned to fix the mankind. So they says, something is going on. I said, I'm perfectly fine. What are you talking about? So they put me in the screen and show me, look right here. 2 of the artery is no good. I says, fix it. I fix myself. Said that we cannot fix it because it's too plugged. So you need a surgery. And I'm looking on the doctor, and I said, look at me. I have 5 kids, wife, and my work in this world is not done yet. So if you do touch me, make sure you do a good job. And he says, yes, we do a good job. So when I wake up, was not 2, was all 5. All 5 already. But when it's the hand of God, I never feel a pain. I feel the way they cut my chest. And they ask me almost every day in the hospital, do you feel any pain inside? No. So I never feel a pain for my heart, but just the cut, they cut my chest. And praise God, in less than 3 weeks, I was back to work. And everything worked normal since then, and no pain, no nothing. So praise God.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, I've been kind of ill myself, but today's the first day I walked in without the walker.
Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Amen. All right. Hey, this is going awesome. Anybody else? What's good, Bethel?
I just moved into a fatty house.
A fatty house.
A big.
Oh, a big house compared to a tiny house. Okay. All right. I got you. I got you. All right.
Got to make it worth it. I've been estranged from my daughter since my grandson died last year. She finally called me. So we're making amends.
Yeah. Amen. Oh, thank you for sharing that. Amen. Amen. All right. You know what? I got to preach now. I see more hands up. I see you. Yeah. We have... What is good? God is good. Amen. God is good. He blesses us in so many ways. And it's so important for us, church, to remember the blessings of God, that we are a blessed people. And so this morning, we're starting this new series. And the first message in this series is called Blessed to Be a Blessing. Blessed to Be a Blessing. God has blessed us so that we can in turn be a blessing to others. And so in this series, this is going to be our challenge for the next 3 weeks as we talk about this. Rather than seeing yourself as a reservoir, start seeing yourself as a conduit that God uses to bless those around you. Instead of seeing yourself as a reservoir that's always taking in, storing up, saving up, start seeing yourself as a conduit that God is pouring blessings into your life so that other people can be blessed. Many times, rather than just directly blessing people, which God can do that, but as you look through the scriptures, you see that the way God most often blesses people is through somebody else, that God will bless us so that we can be a blessing to somebody else. The problem is many times, maybe even most of the time, rather than allowing the blessings of God to flow through our lives, we think that those blessings are just for us, and it stops right there. We hold on to the blessings of God. So I want to challenge you in these next few weeks, rather than seeing yourself as a reservoir, see yourself as a conduit that God will use to bless other people. Let me show you just a heart-wrenching example of what I'm talking about. All right, here's a picture of, this is where the Seahawks play, Century League. Yes, go Hawks, okay? And this stadium is filled up with people, as you can see. Now, here's the sad part. I'm using this just as a visual illustration. This many children, every week in our world die from nutrition or unclean water-related diseases and sicknesses. In fact, not just one of those, three of those every week. And that's tragic, very tragic. And the worst part about all of that is it's absolutely preventable, because there actually is enough food and clean water in our world to take care of those kids. But it's just that there are so many people in our world that instead of being a conduit, they're a reservoir. And they're taking in and taking in and taking in. And church, I want to challenge us as followers of Jesus Christ. This is not acceptable. It's not acceptable. As followers of Jesus Christ, may God turn our hearts toward those that are in need so that we will be a reservoir, or a conduit rather than a reservoir. Amen? Jesus said this. He said, as you go, told this to his disciples, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Now, how many of you this morning have received at least something from the Lord? Amen? We've received so much, haven't we? We've been blessed. We've been blessed, but we are blessed to be a blessing. And so think about all the things that the Lord has given to us. He's given us life and forgiveness of our sins and hope and a future. And he's given us a family. He's given us a church family. And he's blessed us in so many ways. But church, remember, we are blessed to be a blessing. Amen? We're blessed so that we can be a conduit, that the blessing of God would flow through us. Remember this, if God can give it through you, God will give it to you. All right? If God can give it through you, God will give it to you. God isn't interested in continuing to bless us just so we will spend that blessing on ourselves. God expects that as his followers, we're going to be a conduit, that he's going to give it to us so that his blessing can flow through us to the lives of those in need. So one of the big keys to becoming a conduit that God uses is to ask God to change our hearts, that God would give us a spirit of generosity because God is a giver. And so we want the heart of God. And the way to become a more generous person is to come to a deeper understanding of just how blessed we are, to realize that God has been so good to us. Freely, freely, you have received. Freely, freely, give. Give. Be a giver. Forgiveness, salvation, love, provision. We've been recipients of so much, so much. But here's what we think sometimes, and I've heard this, and I've thought it before, and in my life, I'll be honest, and perhaps you can identify with this. Here's how we think sometimes. We think, you know, if I just had a little more, then I would be generous. Anybody else here? If I just had a little bit more, God, then I would be generous. But do you want the truth? No, you wouldn't be. You wouldn't be. Because generosity is a heart issue. It's not an amount issue. It's a heart issue. Generosity is not a dollar issue. Generosity is a heart issue. Yeah. A man once came to his pastor and said, "Pastor, you need to pray for me." This pastor said, "Okay, how can I pray for you?" And the man said, "I need God to give me a more generous heart. It's become very difficult for me to give." And the pastor said, "Well, why is that?" And the man said, "Well, back when I made $50 a week, it was so easy to tithe because my tithe was only $5. And then God blessed me, and I started making $500 a week. And it was a little more difficult, but still, I was a giver, and I only had to give $50 a week so I could do that. But God has blessed me so much, now I make $5,000 a week." And pastor, do you know what the tithe on that is? Believe me, church pastors know what the tithe on that is. And he said, "So, pastor, it's so hard for me to tithe now." His pastor said, "Okay, I'll pray for you. Lord, I just ask right now that you would reduce my brother's income back to $50 a week so he'll be able to start tithing again." See, church, generosity is not a dollar issue. Generosity is a heart issue, right? It's a great illustration of having a giving heart in the Gospels. And it's found in John chapter 12, and Jesus is there, and he's at dinner, and there's several people in this house. In fact, the house is crowded with people, and during that time, a woman known as Mary came into that place to spend some time with Jesus. And it says in John 12, verse 3, "Then Mary took about a pint of nard, pure nard, an expensive perfume, and poured it on Jesus' feet." Did you see the word expensive there? This was costly, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance from the perfume. Now, people didn't know what Jesus was about to go through, but the Holy Spirit did, and the Holy Spirit prompted this woman to do this act of kindness and love out of her love and adoration for Jesus. And she pours this perfume out, and this is the kind of heart that we want to have, that we are so thankful to the Lord that we have a giving, generous heart, no matter what the cost is to us. Now, the story goes on, and it shows a different kind of heart, the heart that Judas had. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? Well, that sounds good enough, except for that's not what Judas's real motive was. It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. So instead of a conduit, Judas was a reservoir. Wanted more for himself. And you might say to yourself today, well, I would never steal from the Lord. But go read Malachi chapter 3, which tells us that if we're not tithing, we're actually robbing God. We're actually taking that which rightfully belongs to the Lord. Jesus said this, very profound. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, where you invest, that's where your heart is going to be. If we're investing constantly in ourselves or the pleasures of this world, that's where our heart is going to be. But if we're investing in Christ, we're investing in the kingdom of God and the things that matter to God, that is where our heart is going to be. And we're going to have to wrestle with a few things, right, if we're going to be generous. First of all, we're going to have to wrestle with our selfishness. We all have it. We all have a degree of selfishness. It's part of our fallen nature. So we have to struggle with that, with the Lord, and ask the Lord to help us overcome selfishness. Sometimes what prevents us from being more generous is fear. We tend to think of our resources as kind of like a pie, and well, if I start giving away slices of the pie, there won't be enough of the pie left for me. But I want you to know, God is not like that. God is not limited the way we think. God is the limitless resource for our lives. Amen? So instead of seeing, well, there's only so much to go around, remember, no, God is going to pour out blessing after blessing into our lives. Sometimes we use human logic, and it's good to have wisdom. Biblical wisdom is a gift from God. But human logic sometimes unravels the plan of God in our lives because we try to think through everything from our perspective, and it keeps us from being generous. So God tells us to give something away or to start being more generous, and then we start doing the math. And we use our human logic and we realize, wow, this just isn't adding up. But I want you to know God uses different math than us. He does. Here's God's math, Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. Wow. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. How many of you like God's math? Amen. Look, I mean, just look at the words of Jesus there. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Will you pour it out into your life? Man, I love that. Amen? And it makes me want to be more generous and trust that God is going to provide everything I need in my life. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 also says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly, that means not very much, will also reap not very much. But whoever sows generously, we'll also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly. Everybody say abundantly. He's able to bless you abundantly so that all things, in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That's a lot of alls and everys. But this is how our God is. He has limitless resources. He meets our needs, not so that we will spend it on ourselves, but so that that cycle of generosity would continue. So I want to close by giving you a few things about generosity here. How can I become a more generous person? How can I become more generous? First of all, we start with prayer. Ask God to help you. Ask God to help you. And this prayer might include some repentance. It might be coming to God and admitting to God, God, I've been selfish. I haven't been thoughtful. I haven't been generous. I've used the blessings that you've given to me on myself. So ask God to help you. Ask God to give you his heart. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. He gave what? His one and only Son. God, give me your heart for the world. God, give me a heart of generosity. So ask God to help you. The second thing is get a vision. Get a vision. Get a vision for your life. Ask God, God, give me a new vision. Give me a new picture of what you want me to be in this world. Here's a great question to ask yourself. Do I want my life to be successful, or do I want my life to be significant? Do I want to be successful in the world's eyes, or do I want to be significant? Do I want to be someone who's made a difference for the kingdom of God? Do you want to be a success, or do you want to be significant? Ask God to give you this vision for your life. So ask God to help you. Ask God to give you a vision. And then number three, when it comes to generosity, so important, start with what you have. Start with what you have. Don't say to yourself, man, when my ship comes in, I am really going to be a generous person. Man, when I win the lottery, I'm really just going to start blessing everybody around me. Hey, it usually doesn't happen that way, guys. Amen? It starts with being faithful with small things, right? Just having a generous heart. And it's not just finances. It's serving. Maybe God has blessed you and you're just good at something. You've got a particular talent or skill that could be a blessing to somebody else. Give it away. Practice hospitality. Just having someone over for coffee or preparing a meal. Giving of your time. Being generous with your time. I don't know about you, but I can get really stingy with my time sometimes. Just being generous with everything in your life, financial resources. And use a beautiful picture in the Bible that I would encourage you to use as an example to follow. And it's the story in the Bible, remember, where Jesus fed this great crowd. We don't know how many there were, but there were 5,000 men. We know that. 5,000 men plus women and children, and they're following Jesus, and Jesus is teaching them. It's getting late in the day, and remember, one of the disciples comes and says, Jesus, these people are getting hungry. And remember what Jesus said to the disciple? Go feed them. Remember, yeah, God sometimes, he could have provided manna from heaven, just like he did in the Old Testament. But in this particular case, God was going to use somebody else to be a conduit, to be a blessing to that crowd. And so they come and they say, Jesus, here's all we found. We found this young boy here, and he's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And even the disciples said, what is that? What is that? I mean, what is that? Okay, remember, start with what you have. You might look at what you have and say, this doesn't seem like very much. But here's what I've learned. If I take my not very much and put it in the hands of Jesus, he can do amazing things with it. Amen? He can do amazing things with it. In 5 weeks, May 5th, we are going to do our annual One Day to Feed the World offering here at Bethel Church. The entire offering is going to go toward a ministry that we've supported for many years called Convoy of Hope. Convoy of Hope currently feeds over 200,000 children with nutritious food and water every single school day. Every single school day. 200,000 children. We've partnered with this ministry. It's such an exciting ministry to be a part of. The idea of the One Day to Feed the World offering is that every one of us in our church, we would calculate what is one day of salary in my life, what does one day of salary look like? And in that offering, we bring that one day of salary and we give it to the Lord. Okay? It might not seem like much to you, but I'm telling you, it will change a child's life. It will change their life. So we're going to bring what we have. We're going to start with what we have, and we're going to say, hey, I might not be a millionaire, but here's something I can do. I can give one day of my salary to feed some hungry kids, all right? How many of you think you could do that? You can give one day of your salary to help feed some hungry kids. Amen? One day, all right? And it might not seem like much to you, but God is going to use it. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And so Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the two fish, and he blesses it, and he gives it back to his disciples, and he says, now go feed the people. And they started to do that, and you know the rest of the story. Everybody got fed plenty, and there was lots left over. This is what Jesus can do. Amen? This is what Jesus, if we will just take what might not seem like much to us, but it's what we have, and we will give it to the Lord blesses it, and it goes way further and does way more than we ever thought, because that's what Jesus does. Be a conduit. Be a conduit in your life. You might feel like, well, man, just sending that sympathy card or writing a card to someone who's sick. You might feel like, oh, that's not very much. I mean, man, I wish I could do more. I cannot tell you, church, how many people I've spoken to over the years that have said, Pastor Tim, you have no idea what getting that card meant when I was sick. Just knowing someone was praying for me. It might seem like such a small thing. Such a small thing. It won't take much time at all. But when we do it and we put it in God's hands, God uses it. Amen? God uses it. Blessed to be a blessing. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Would you pray with me right now? And let's just come before the Lord right now and say, God, here is my life. Teach me, God, to have a generous heart. Teach me, Lord, to be a conduit. God, I repent and I admit to you that there's been many times I've acted like a reservoir. I've stored up for myself. I've spent on myself. But God, give me a more generous heart, Lord. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands to the Lord right now? This is just being open to God and just seeing yourself right now as a conduit that God will pour into. God will pour into your life so that your life can bless other people. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God. Change my heart. Change my heart, Lord. Lord, I don't want to be selfish. God, I don't want to be materialistic. God, like the rest of this world. But Lord, I want to be blessed so I can be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's thank the Lord for his goodness this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.